Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, everyone, and it's the voice that comes and goes here on Blog Talk Radio, but the Detectors Radio Broadcast Network. I talked to my old co-host about a few days ago, John Alashauskas, and he is doing well as can be expected in this very strange time we live in. I want to say hi to Judge Mary Elizabeth Bullock. She was gracious enough to make a very nice comment, as all the others have on Link, in regards to my anniversary on Link. And all the other people have been following me on Facebook and Twitter. Hi. Sorry, I've been not on the air a lot. Been dealing with health and very strange things that are going on, not only with me, but everyone in this country. I found myself intrigued on this case with this one woman dealing with this foreclosure. As I stated here, I'm a former deputy of the court. I worked for a few of the very powerful law firms of their time here in Illinois as a paralegal. And I have seen some things I can't even tell you what I've seen. I've been in business. I've worked for the Fortune 100 corporations only when I started out, because my goal was to move up. So from an insider's point of view, I'm talking directly to you, not from someone at a clerk's level or someone that was in the mail room, but somebody that was sitting there watching this stuff going on all the way back to the 70s and very learned in history, because I read a lot, and I was from a very, very prominent black family that did a lot in regards to civil rights, and I was very much intrigued with history. Each one of us in the family had gifts, and I had a gift for art. A commercial artist. I got very much involved with accounting. I loved doing numbers, and I got over all the way up to doing actuary work for some of the corporations. And then I worked into computers, programming, and various other things. Right now I do web designs at times. Still doing paralegal work at, you know, the monstrous levels. Me and the late Sherman Skolnick were kind of like partnered up, and I had partnered up with a lot of lawyers and former justices and former not only attorney generals, but some of the top people. I had a chance to talk to Ramsey Clark when he was attorney for Hussein, the president of Iraq, opportunity to talk to Vincent Bugliosi, who wrote the book Helter Skelter, and his last, his last book before he had passed, one in regards to removing President Bush and the reason why. We're just supposed to rip the outer case of the book and just take it to your attorney general in your state and be able to prosecute. He's a former attorney general. I can go on for days, the ones that I had touched hands with, national, international. I am a part of the original group of 9/11 Truth with Jim Fetcher, professor, and Stephen Jones. I got involved with it because of the things I saw with terrorist cells, which were operative, which are still here, all tied into the same people. ISIS isn't real. ISIS is just a mere play of games to you, the public. ISIS is and was taught by the CIA. So why do you think that they would be going after us? Is it just a way to forge you to be angry so they can use your tax dollars for some other hideous purpose? Read between the lines. And I think most of you are, because a lot of people aren't looking at mainstream television like they used to. They're moving to internet, and now they're looking to take over the internet completely. take over every corporation, which they had the device to do and had from the beginning. I read Mein Kampf. At 9 years old, I read Mein Kampf. I read about I.B. Fabian, and I read about IBM and all the other manufacturers at the top level in the United States outside coming together backing Hitler's Germany. Corporatism, removing of unions that were protecting the people from tyranny. It goes even further back. You know, you think about the elitists from way, way back. I had this writer when I was 9 and 10. His name was the Mofa font, I think. He was an elitist in France, and during the revolution, all the elitists had to flee for their lives because they were being executed on the block. Well, he and a number of other his level of people had to hide in the sewers of France. And he came down with this extraordinary skin disease that he couldn't get rid of at all. And I read about this at 9. I was just extraordinarily interested in history. In fact, I read a whole encyclopedia from the front to the back because I found a lot of hidden information in it. And that helped me put together this little column I had called It's a Fact. It was in my dad's newspaper, and also I think I had it in the American newspaper. He had put it out for me when I was like 10 years old, just before he had died. But the thing is that not about me, it's about you and what I just saw. I had gotten this email this morning, well, actually last night, from Brass Check. They've been sending things to me for a long time, and I look at it, and some of the stuff I use because it's really on time and is hitting on some of the topics that I either have covered or some aspects that I think visually you need to see. Because sometimes if you hear somebody, you say, oh, they don't know anything. They're full of mess. What do they talk about this stuff for? They don't know what they're talking about. Well, see, everything I do, it's based on backing from court briefs, knowing certain individuals, hands-on information, not secondary, off-the-topic stuff that was reported through, you know, other means. But like I said, I've been involved with a lot of things over my life. And some of it, I just sit down and say, wow. I say, wow, about the people I met. Unreal. But it was because of who I was, what family was tied in, and being in the media, this is how you run into this. I talked to David Koresh before he had gotten, you know, murdered down there in that area of Texas. I had talked to Pastor Tony Alarmo all the way up until his arrest for the Mann Act. He was on my show talking about who killed Robert Kennedy. He was in the audience then. He saw it. That wasn't Saran. It was he saw who did it. And then the next thing, he's carted up and locked up in jail in Arkansas, still there. On the Mann Act, something nobody even uses anymore, and they claimed that he was doing it. He had no right to prosecution, got life. But then there's been hideous, horrible murderers and criminals that they haven't even done that to. They let him right out. Why did they have him locked up? To shut him up because he said something about who killed Kennedy? On that same show, I had a former FBI CIA agent on who knew him, John Gary Peeler, and we both told him, you know, watch it. The next day, you know, we see on the news, they caught him as he was coming out of California, going down to Arkansas to answer these charges because he wasn't even living in Arkansas when this woman came forth and said that he was, you know, involved with trying to do a Mann Act with her kids. I talked to her, too. Lies. People don't even care about what they claim they believe in God because, you know, if you believe in God or whatever God system you believe in, you know, it says, do not lie. And Buddhism, they say, don't make false accusations, you know, things like that. I had something like this happen to me. I was appalled, and I will never get over that. Because the thing is that I am trying to do what I can, not only to survive, but to help others out. But to have someone, you know, blatantly say lies, and all I was trying to do was to leave. I refuse to be abused anymore. I refuse to be going through any kind of aspects of things that people decide to put you through because they feel they can. In my case, no, I'm not accepting any of the unacceptables. Take advantage of somebody that's sick. That's wrong. That's evil. But that's what's out here. This is where we have become. We have become a nation that's almost as worse, if not worse, than Sodom and Gomorrah. And we don't recognize. We allow this evil to continue. Kids are being raped every day at school. Children out there pleading to their parents, telling them that these things are going on. Some of the parents, some, not all, some of them listen. Some of them address these issues. Other ones sit back and say, oh, well, you know, Johnny, he doesn't know what he's talking about, Susie. Other ones go out there and fight the struggle. Some of them, like myself, went out in the street trying to drag people back to get them out of these situations other than to turn them around and have them bite you and try to tear you limb from limb because they don't have no understanding, no want, no desire to survive. They have been taken over by the great beast because there is a beast. The beast is something that's been growing and growing, and we've been supportive of the beast. It's like bees and ants harvesting food for the queen. They go back and forth, just moving back and forth, doing what the queen tells them. They have no rhyme or reason, the reason why they're doing it. All they know is they got to bring food in for the queen and gather and this, that, and the other. They don't think beyond what they're supposed to do. They don't sit down. You'll see the ants going over the corner and say, oh, yeah, I'm like the queen. We don't know what she's doing. Why is she asking us to do this? Another pocket ants going over the side, you know, saying, no, I'm not going to. I took the blue pill. I'm not doing this. You don't see the ants just go boop, 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 booping with bees. They all follow pattern. They listen to their commander, and that's what it is, and that's what we are right now. We're becoming bees. We're being mutilated mentally, spiritually. I see people out here dead eyes. Why? Everybody out here has got some kind of drug. If it's a manufactured drug that's given to you out of the pharmacy, or it's a weed, it's all drugs. And all it does is induce you in a situation that they can control you and your mind. Every time you take a pill and the doctor says, oh, you got to take another pill. You need this pill. You got this wrong with you, this wrong. At this point, you have so much of this stuff clustered in your system, as I have. To get it out is almost an extraordinary feat. The stuff is powderized. It goes into your veins, into your tissue, and you have to fight to get the stuff out to become a living entity again. They control everything, just like Outer Limits. They control you. The reason why they wanted you to have later model cars is because in the car, they can stop you in the middle of the street, in the highway, just like boom. And take you and cart you away. Because you have all these different devices in your computer that track you, tell you where you are, able to tell who's in the car with you. They are connected to satellite. All this stuff is tracking mechanisms to know exactly where you are and traveling at all times. That's the reason why they went around and told everybody to get rid of their older model vehicle. It wasn't because they were trying to do something great. They were putting these things together for the New World Order thing that they're putting in place. They're not putting in place, it's in place. The other day, I got this stuff from Brass Check, from Wikileaks, from Julian Assange. He was interviewed by Amy Goodman, who also I, you know, had spoke to and knew from Patriot Days. And she did an interview with him, and he was talking about what's going on then called TPP. You need to look it up. You need to understand what's happening here in the United States. I saw this a long time ago when Ronald Reagan was running for office. I worked for a major corporation in the controller's office. And understand how corporations operate. You have the president, you have the vice president, and then you have the controller that handles all the accounting for the corporation business. That's where I was. And all these major corporations, I ended up in those areas. I saw things, knew of things. Analytical mind I have, and the thing is that the issue is that you need to understand what's going on. First, it was NAFTA. NAFTA came in, and when NAFTA came in under the Clinton administration, it was an opportunity for smaller countries that were suffering from their bleak economy to have a commerce between the United States and global interests. So they opened up NAFTA, which was supposed to be able to do a world international trade and business for small business owners over in other foreign countries. From NAFTA came a situation where many of our jobs started changing. How did it change? Because major corporations were being forced to move out of the United States. We were a manufacturing mecca. We had steel. We had automotive industry. We had food plants. We had cars. Everything you can think of was being manufactured out of the United States, and it was globally sent into other countries, and everybody wanted to buy American products. We don't have that anymore. We offer little because everything that we have is generated now out of foreign marketplaces based on NAFTA. NAFTA to us was just, you know, we didn't even understand it. I even found banking communities that were hiring people that had to be under the NAFTA Act. That means that if a clerk working in a certain bank worked in the chain, they were basically set in, housed, and trained and allowed to work in banking here in the United States. The same thing was going on with the trade they were trying to do with the Filipinos. Filipino nurses were being traded in, and foreign nurses and doctors were being traded into hospitals. Why do I know that? Because I was in the nursing industry. I used to send doctors, and not doctors, but nurses and nurses' aides to the hospitals. I was a manager of a registry for nurses. So I know what was going on. I also worked in the insurance industry. I've been working all of my life since 16, and I've seen things. And the thing is, I'm trying to implore you to understand what's getting ready to happen next. It's TPP. First NAFTA, now TPP. TPP is the new NAFTA. That means all of the major corporations have now globally become this mega corporation, which the FTC, FCC, and all these agencies with letters and alphabets, you know, letters, soup things, are supposed to protect us from. They don't do anything. Why do we have them in the government? Get rid of them. Stop paying for them. Because they're not doing their job. Because, see, what's globally happening is all of these companies are gobbling up each other, and they're becoming big, huge institutions. It's not any corporation, it's an institution. When you have all of these companies buying out one another into one thing, and nobody else can get in that marketplace, it becomes an institution. That means that that company controls the whole gambit, every product and thing sold in that type of round. Now, the thing is, if you're a small business owner, how are you going to make waves or make any money in there? You can't. You're blocked. They control the media. They control everything you say, you know, think, what products you have. They can look into you, your background, in 2 minutes on the internet, on the computer. They can pull up everything on you, just like I can pull up anything on whoever I search. These companies can look at you for 2 minutes and know what you are, what you eat, where you go, who your friends are, you know, what time you go to bed at night. They know everything you do, everything. Now, they already control all of the corporations' manufacturing things, and we don't manufacture anything over here. It's going to China, and everything else is being outsourced out. So we have become a globalized service industry here in the United States. We are no longer a place that makes something that somebody needs really and desires. It's almost as though we're going into a penal camp status. People make a minimum wage, and the minimum wage will count as whatever position you have. It doesn't matter what title you have. You're still under minimum wage. The housing market has flipped into not a buyer's market as much as a renter's market, and you can't even get a rental. The rentals now are going like, you know, $9, $16, $25, $100 for a student. And it's not just in Illinois. It's across the border. And the reason they're able to do that is because we turn a blank eye and open the door to allow them to do whatever the heck they want. And the thing is, this isn't the only beginning of it. It's going to get 100 million times worse. Wait until they cut off the food stamps. And they cut off the benefits and everything else that you have out here. You're going to have a whole generation, a class of people that were making $150,000 large a year downward, not being able to afford anything. Because now you have become the poor, working class poor to the new level of elitist that you don't fit in. You're not going to be able to afford what they're getting ready to pop out. And you won't be able to develop your own business because you're going to have to bow down to these institutions. Hospitals are building up so big. They have campuses with 10, 20, 30 buildings to them. Not only the schools, they have these laboratories and various other things they have attached to them. And the thing, they're doing experiments, and you're signing up for it. You sign up to have, surveys of medical done, and you know they do experimental drugs on you. They give a couple hundred dollars, and they bye. But the bottom line is, when you get these things done to you, this stuff is in your system. And the thing is, this stuff can kill you. You don't know what it is. It's not something you know. Oh, well, I found a new drug or anything like that. It isn't like that. What we're doing right now and dealing with right now is a big, huge monster. It's not going to change because we haven't changed. It's business as usual. I remember President Bush coming out when 9/11 happened. He said, just keep business as usual. It meaning ignore everything we do. Just do whatever you were doing before and let us take care of it. So you see where we are from that. And all these people are controlled. Who's the Bush family? Standard Oil. If you go back to the 1940s when the father Bush was over there overseas, I swear, from what I had read, he went over there to give a packet to the Japanese. He went there as a courier. He wasn't a member or anything. He took over a squadron, which was supposed to have been the most elite squadron around, went into this area with this packet of information to the Japanese. And then, anyway, his ship, went down, and the only two people that were on there from the original crew, they died. And everybody else that was on there, they all died. The only one who was found floating on a piece of wood was George Bush. Now, wasn't that kind of strange, or do you think that's normal? During that time, what happened? Kennedy's son disappeared. Well, you know, maybe he wasn't where they said he was. Maybe he was on that island that I suspected he was on. You know, this all had to do with this trade agreement that they were trying to do in regards to this undersea, underwater oil rigs that they had created under Operation Pluto. The basis of World War II was a corporate move in regards to moving gas and oil around the world. Auschwitz, the death camp, the gas came on the same day that the switch was turned on for the underwater, undersea operation of this gas being removed from place to place under the waterways. I suspected that a lot of these places that were doing these experiments in Auschwitz were doing things to see if they could change people around, alter them, so that they could go underwater and be able to operate and take care of these rigs and things at lower, higher levels of pressurization. I think that's the reason why they were experimenting on people, over and above the other experiments. Look at right now. Why are they saying that the Parent Association, which was just an organization you walk into, had body parts on the table saying, oh, okay, we're going to sell this to this laboratory and that of more than baby fetuses. And 70%, they said, are African-American that they're giving up. And black women out there, listen to me. This thing is just ridiculous. You think it's okay to go out there and you say, okay, this, oh, I love this guy and this and the other. If he loves you, he's going to take care of you. And you don't have to have a baby by him. You don't have to do anything. He's going to take care of you. I've known men over my lifetime that will do things for you. They don't have to be pregnant by him. If a man loves you, they will do everything they can to make you happy. If they really love you. If they don't love you, then you got to love thyself and move on and seek a greener passage. You know, these people out here can drain you like vampires. Notice how these guys, some of them look young all the time. Well, maybe they're a vampire. Spiritual vampires are vamping you of all your being because what they're doing is using you to be able to reform themselves. They have no job. They have no work. They have nothing. All they are in drugs or whatever. You know that the drug that's in their system, when you have a relationship with them, that drug can go into you and make you addicted to them because they're on this drug? Just think about it. It's just like you take a pill. How do we know what the heck, you know, is going into your system from ways and means of having sexual intercourse with somebody? We sit there and we do things and we don't think about it. Some of us have control of ourselves, some do not. Gain control. Love thyself. If you love thyself and you understand you, and people that are supposed to be around you will come to you, good people. Doesn't matter how many kids you have or whatever, people make mistakes. But the thing is you have to be a good person. If you're not a good person, then what will come to you is what nobody in the universe wants. And that's the reason it comes to you, because what it is doing is it's seeking out this highest level of water, you, to drag it out its murky below, which could be in it could be a quicksand or whatever. It needs something to drag it wherever its cock is out, and you're a dragger out. You feed it. You take care of it. You take care of it more than you do your children. What the heck is wrong with you? Appalling what you are doing out here. And then women, you're out here and you say, oh, okay, I'll have an abortion. How do you know that doesn't connect to the situation that God said, hey, life shall be born and it was supposed to be created. Are you God to kill it? Or does it not say in the Bible, thou shalt not kill? So you're creating children because you got to be with some dude and he has to have the unprotected sex. So you have child after child, and then after you have those children, you don't have any support because the government is not going to support you. Nobody's going to support you. Nobody's going to give you a dime. Nobody cares because you don't care. And the men, too. Why are you impregnating these women that have no hope, no aspiration? Why don't you inspire them and then inspire yourself and build from there? This country is becoming a cesspool, and we don't know it. There's a lot of very good people out there. There's a lot of people out there struggling, young people working, individual old people have to drag themselves back out to work because there's no benefits for them anymore. All the stimulation of lies and conspiracies that were put against the previous generation should be condemned, where these people should be jailed for stealing and robbing our pensions and stealing our livelihood to survive in our older years. You can't retire with, you know, happiness now. I've talked to, I don't know how many zillions of grandparents out there and parents that are taking care of their adult kids that are 40, 50 years old and taking care of their kids and taking care of their kids' kids. And they're on Social Security pensions. And they're saying, oh, I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. You know, Sally and Jane and Susie all moved back in my house, and their kids moved in, and they got all these other kids in there and stuff, and I'm taking care of them. And then they're in a situation where they're just 2 feet from the grave trying to deal with all these bills, and then JoJo, the government, stole all their money, and pension says it's okay to do it. How the heck are you going to take somebody's money? That money came out of your check, you worked, and they were supposed to compound interest in that money and put it in secured accounts, not take that money back and say, oh, well, that's my money, I can take. How the heck did government get control of the pensions? How the heck did the government control Social Security? Social Security had T-bonds behind it. What the heck happened to that? People say, oh, it was Roosevelt. Well, it had nothing. Roosevelt has been long dead. It has nothing to do with the thievery of Social Security to pay for wars. This last war we went over in Bush's war, that was coming out of Social Security money, which was never replaced. How the heck you go in and take money and say, okay, we're taking money out of your property tax for school and take that property tax money and use that money under another title. You haven't gone into the general fund and you pull the money out and pay other places in the government that's out of money because you done took the money out and used it for something else and never replaced it. And let's not even talk about the mortgage industry. There is a huge base of fraud going on in the mortgage industry, and people, you got to understand that these, I went to people. I went to them. I'm a former person of the court. I went to them and I told them there's fraud on the court. There's fraud on the court is when somebody knowingly goes into the clerk's office of any court and files documents stating under oath that they're filing truth and statements that they are suing somebody because they have some kind of fiduciary connection to whatever contract or agreement or whatever. If they go in there and they're filing this under fraud, then it's a fraud on the court. There is nobody doing anything to stop these frauds on the court because, first of all, these bankers were all in jail. Not jail. They've been sued by the federal government, found guilty of conspiracy against the home buyer, found guilty of discrepancies dealing with credit default swaps or whatever. All of them have been found guilty one level or another. And then what they were doing, gobbling up the same bad banks up and down all over the place. I was in the mortgage industry too, and I saw this. It was around when they were doing the credit default swaps. Gobbling up. Trading your money. Gambling on money, that debt on your home, using your home as a debt manufacturer. Okay, your future value of your house is going to be $300 million or whatever down in the future if you take the interest rate in consideration. So they go take that number that doesn't exist right now, but in the future somewhere it exists, put it in the bank account, then take the banking money and then put it into like a stock or whatever and gamble your money. Comes in, A. If it doesn't come in, A. And then you are in your house. You don't get anything for that. This is your house. They take your savings. They take your money that you put in your bank. Every dime that comes in the banking industry is being gambled. And the thing is that they will take your house, and I think it's appalling is what they're doing to senior citizens. They're committing fraud on the court when their deed is not properly registered. The court is sitting there, and they claim they don't use MERS system, whatever they're using. They're allowing these people to come in with creative fraud in the court. And the justices are sitting in high-level court, and they should know this. I'm a paralegal. They should know it more than I do, and I don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense. I go to places, and they tell me, oh, well, you know, we follow a different language of law. The law is the law. You got one level, you got two levels. You got federal level, and you got the state court level. And the you got the Supreme Court bar. You got levels of law, and it all says different levels in the same language. These people will twist around and say that they have this, that, oh, no, I don't do this, and this, that, and that. They're making up as they go because they're lazy. They don't read. Ask them if they're the late Sherman Skolnick said to me a long time ago, he said, you know, if you go in the court, don't say anything to them. Say, Your Honor, it's in the brief. Get them to read it. These people don't read. I mean, and then they talk about you can't be a pro se litigant, but then the judge is reading anything. And then how the heck are you thinking he's going to read all those briefs? He's not going to read that in an hour. He doesn't, you know, he's just like, oh, yeah, well, you know, this and that and the other, because he's going through court of rule. And then if you go in there in summary judgment, these people are going and filing documents they know are fraud on the court, and then they go in a summary judgment, meaning that you're already guilty. There's no breach of contract or anything on your side to argue. They're saying there's no argument point that you're guilty. And the judge allows it. He's sitting there on the bench like, oh, yeah, well, whatever, you know, yeah, stamp, stamp, stamp. He's not reading that. He's not going to, because according to summary judgment, you are in breach of the contract, even though the contract may be faulty and flawed. And third party debt collectors, how are they going in suing you in the first place? They're in there buying debt that's already been written off by the IRS. After 120 days, it goes into the expense account, and then at the end, if you haven't paid your debt, it's written off at the end of the year for the corporation, and those debts don't exist anymore. So how does a third-party debt collector come in and pay you know, a company pennies on a dollar for that debt and reinstitute it back to you and say you owe the debt and then come in and summary judgment and sue you and then take everything you have, everything that's worth? Nobody's reviewing that. That is illegal. But then again, what isn't illegal here? It's not all on factors of who's going to get to the door first, who's going to lie first, who's going to conspire first, who's going to be the fraud on the public first. And then they say, oh, well, they did that. They shouldn't have done it. Well, the thing is, we're backing fraud because our dollars are going to the backing of the fraudulent act in itself. That's what I was working with this one particular lady, because the thing is, I am appalled to see how they're treating elderly people today. I'm appalled how the elderly and the disabled are being treated. I'm appalled how children are being treated in school. They just had a situation where teachers, they don't even check the teachers out to see if they're sex predatory. There's one that's just this last week. Was involved with a student that was missing for about a week. She was missing for a week because she was having relationships with a teacher. And she was being hidden by the teacher. Interior hiring teachers. And the ones that these people, these varmints go in, they go in teaching profession, they go in the daycare, they go in anywhere that they can, you know, muster around where there's children. You know, and the thing is that we don't scope that out because we're in a la-la land, a world of, you know, taking pharmaceutical drugs, pulling up, being totally inastute to what is going on in our environment. This country, read the factors, real factors of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not what you think. And by the way, Lot was a judge in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was a judge. There's a lot more to the story that they allow you to know. There's a lot more to the Lot story than you have a clue to. See, there's factors they give us to keep us hoodwinked, to keep us all, you know, worked up and you know, benefit them. But the thing is, the United States right now is going down in a handbasket. And it won't. And the thing is, it doesn't matter what happens to you and me directly. The whole nation's getting ready to fall in on itself because right now you got Greece now owing a whole bunch of money to Germany. You got the situation economically going on in China. Economically speaking, China's in bad shape. That's the one that we need to watch. Because of the situation that they have not talked about, who's going to control the currency. Again, I was dealing with this thing called No Reba, which was no interest, which had connections to the dinar. Okay, that one's still out there. You got the dinar, the Bitcoin. I haven't heard that much. That's kind of like filtering. But who's going to control the currency? I look at Mission Impossible. You look at IMF. You don't realize that that's a code name for the International Monetary Fund. IMF. You're looking at things, they're showing you things right before your face, and you're not realizing what they're trying to tell you. It's symbolic. Symbolic to take over different franchises that they're going to, you know, stoke upon us. Again, you know, I look at these hospitals, they come on the news and say, we're the best, we're the best. Well, if you're the best, how come more people are dying? Why are more people not getting cured? Why are you going to the hospital with deadly ailments and hospital officials in the emergency room said, tell you, oh, no, you can't be seen? Because under corporate medicine, you are not now designated as a person to live. You're designated on the list of people that the emperor puts his thumb down for. thumb down, meaning that you can be executed, dead, or whatever. We don't need you anymore. And we're allowing this. And we see no, we don't see anything. And we're running tired when we don't see. And we're upset and frustrated and we don't see. And then the hands that feed us, we bite. The people there that care, we fight with from this frustration we're in. The mere thing I'm saying to you, wake up and look at the concept of NAFTA, this TPP. If you're thinking about growing and creating a business, there are laws on the books right now that says that there should be fair commerce. It's not being fair when everything's being gobbled up into one, and your basis is going to be servitude to the corporations that are becoming king and lord and god. Now, where are you? Are we going to start worshiping corporations? Where are we? Are we actually a religious people, or are we what? Just think of the future, not for yourself. Open your eyes and understand that when you're dead and gone, your children are supposed to be the ones to take your reign. And sometimes you don't have that. And sometimes you have to set a mark yourself and move on away from your family. Sometimes you have to just look at what's going on and turn your back on it and move forward. Just like Lot did in Sodom and Gomorrah, because he didn't want to be burned alive by the wrath of God. And is that what we're looking at right now, the wrath of God getting ready to hit us here? The last part of the news yesterday was talking about a new Amino coming, the most severe one we've ever faced. And they said, oh, well, you know, in the Midwest, well, if it comes, it's going to be great, because in this area, it's going to be a lot warmer than the other areas. Well, that sounds great, you know, but then it's great to hear devastation all over from a very bad storm mass coming in, that they're basically participating, you know, they're anticipating happening. And that's supposed to be, you know, joyful, that everything else is supposed to, you know, be in plague and death and everything else. But, you know, my area is going to be okay because it's going to be a little bit warmer, the way I was raised to think. How about you? Well, I put the show on. I was supposed to come on yesterday and talk, but I couldn't. I kind of like fell asleep because of my health condition. But I found this very important, this information. And I would go on WikiLeaks if you can on the internet. I haven't gone to that site a long time because I heard that it was so badly compromised that you can't go on there. You know, because people are watching people going into these sites now, because now the internet is not like it was. It took over Google and everything else, you know, and Facebook's been taken over. But, you know, again, we follow trends. We follow whatever they tell us to do, we follow. Follow the leader. So are you leaders or are you followers? Now, I gave you the scope of what's going on. Now, what's the solution? Remember, the game is whoever controls everything is in control of that particular industry globally. The larger the corporation, the more likelihood you're going to be able to succeed. That's the game plan. I gave you a clue. I gave you a clue. Because if you're sitting there and you think you're going to have a couple of bow and arrows run around and do this thing, the mercenary thing, or whatever the heck thing you think you're going to do, it's not going to do anything. It's all about supersizing, bigger than life. Become bigger than life. It's a war going on out here, economic war. And we all are a part of it. And just think, when you get older and you retire and you happen to be having health issues, it's like Soylent Green. They care less about you. They won't treat you in the hospital. I saw something the other day, too, that kind of disturbed me, and I'm going to bring this up because I'm going to end the show in a minute. But I will be on 11:30 tonight. The thing I saw was this. I went in the doctor's office not too recently. I went in there, and he had a shingle on the door, so he was a doctor, and said, cool, went in there. Anyway, I had another appointment for another time. I went back in there the day after because I missed the appointment. When I went there the second time, his name wasn't on the door. There was no doctor there at that location for that type of medicine. There was a whole nother plaque on the door. Now, when I went into the office the first time, I went and took a friend in there, and I asked him, the maintenance woman told me, oh, there's a bathroom in the doctor's office. Went in there, oh, no, you can't use it. Only person in there was the doctor. He had no reception. The next time I went in there, the whole doctor's office was gone. Now, aren't doctors supposed to have the same office space, or are they supposed to just float around and change their sign and move wherever they decide to move to? Is this a new walk of medicine under Aetna Better Health? Doctors that are under maybe the NAFTA program, doctors that are not quite doctors can float from one office to the next and stay there for 2 minutes and move somewhere else because they're low-cost, low-priced doctors that they can afford to use under the medical act that they have for people that are on the list that are considered, you know, not at risk, the people that they just don't deem are necessary anymore. Is that what that was? Think about it for a while. We're looking at things that are scaled down to the level. If you are sick and old, if you're sick and disabled, you're not going to get medical treatment, not the way you think. Forget about it. It's not happening. That you got the elitist money. There was this organization that I was friends of the one of the top guys in the organization, president. He had died, and similarly. And anyway, I had long conversations about this with him. His dreams were uniting all the doctors together, good doctors, and fighting against the outrageous things that they were doing in the hospital. Well, anyway, when he died, this other guy got in there and reversed it all back. Said, oh, you guys have been, you know, disbarred, kicked out of the hospital for squealing on, you know, medical malpractice and all this kind of stuff. You guys can come back and we'll forgive you. You know, just don't say anything and we'll make everything good with you and we'll give you all this money back. But, you know, you had to partner up with us and, you know, that's how you're going to work again. So all the doctors that we're with this guy now reversing back into this other situation. So what do you have for medical now? Look at Dr. Joyce Daniels. She had to flee out of the country because she found out, you know, medical conspiracy. And look at Dr. Carly. Her name is Joyce Carly. Same thing. She had to flee out of there. They, you know, compromised her children, turning on her. That they had to turn the back on their kids to get away from a nightmare and conspiracy. And it goes on and on and on. We all went out there, the patriots and people in the community that fought back to try to get the news out to you. We've gone through hell and high water. Little support out here, very little. I laughed the other day. Somebody was telling me, oh, I was trying to get all this. I have gotten little support off of the internet or anything like that, little support. I got some, but very, very little. It's not about that. I was trying to get word out for you to see what's going on. So what's that guy, Paul Revere? I'm trying to tell you, just before the raid happened, wake it up. Become really what you deem yourself as being, American. Under the face of alleged God. You remember the signs that God repressed? What God are you worshiping? What God would allow children to use as, people for experimental purposes from some laboratory, you know, aboard the Phoenix? You know, what God would allow that? What God are you trusting in? You know, is it, really God, or is that something else that they have created to control you to get you to do more of what they want you to do? You gotta wake up. You gotta really start looking at things and look at yourself in the mirror and understand that what we're working with and what we're looking at is not nice. It's not gonna be nice. The only time it will be nice is when you change it. Realize this isn't gonna be any intentions anymore. Fire department, police department, particularly pay attention. All the things that people say
against you is because they're feeling that you're not protecting them. If they self-protected, they would not say anything against police. You're doing your job based on what they told you to do. But then again, what are you going to do when your pension goes? What are you going to do when you get fired and replaced by a privatized police department? What are you going to do when you're not going to be able to feed your family? What are you going to do when things tides change on you? The one that supported the system in the beginning. Understand that everything we're looking at is just a franchise to another level, another ingredient of the game that's being played on all of us. And you're a major component because you protect them. Why do you think Caesar was basically eliminated by his royal guard? Why do you think all these royal guards have been the ones particularly involved with, you know, conspired to murder? In fact, when Tony Alarmo came on the show, he had stated that when Bobby Kennedy got killed, he said one of the security guards killed him. And that was rumored with Kennedy and his brother. That was rumored with, you know, Julius Caesar. I can go on for days. Even Ronald Reagan, if you look at this, how he was shot. How the heck did he get shot underneath his armpit on a bullet that was a dime, squish size of a dime? And there was no way that that bullet popped off of something in the car and ricocheted into his underneath his arm like that. And the thing was, the bullet, blood really, Tracy. The bullet that shot Ronald Reagan went through his skin, and nobody even saw that he had a bullet in him. And the thing was really, really weird. When he got to the hospital, they didn't see any signs of blood or anything. They thought he had a heart attack. They didn't even know he had a bullet wound. He had to be shot by somebody close range. And who was standing by him? Hmm? No way did that dude shoot over there and ricochet. I mean, you can talk to the top archer, you know, person that... A person that knows guns to the hilt to be able to do something like that. Shoot a bullet, ricochet off of something, go under somebody's armpit, and then it goes in such a way there's no blood. Read the report. Don't take my word. Read his getting shot and the audio from the doctors. Read the report. If it's impossible to you to think of it, it's impossible. Just like, you know, you look at Tom Cruise hanging off the side of the plane. Flying on a plane. You know, planes go at 500 some odd miles an hour. And at the time when it was taken off, probably 200, 300 miles, he would have had burns all over his skin from the wind shears. And there's no way he could have been hanging on. His arm would have been ripped off. So you look at these things and you say, oh, wow, that's cool. It's impossible. That's why they call it Mission Impossible. Because those things are impossible feats for human bodies to do. Even if he was a robot, he couldn't do it. So think about these things. Don't believe lies. Read, look, listen, learn before it's too late. The Library of Alexandria is getting ready to shut down. For last note, too, look at what the trend is. Nobody's supposed to write anything down. Don't keep any paper on anything. Everything's got to go in the system. Okay, say the system goes down. How are you going to retrieve anything? You got no documents on anything. Everything's electronically transferred on electronics. So if the whole system goes down, what do you have to refer to? No pen, no paper, no ink, don't use this or anything. So you're going to retain this stuff in your mind. So how do you argue your mind in court when you have no paper or document, no evidence of what has been a conspiracy against you? Paperless society. Trends, factors, games, music being turned into a way, ways to use to get you to manipulate you to do certain things. And you're all involved. Sexuality, young kids, 10, 11, 12 years old, cool with it. Cross-gender kids are 10, 11 years old. How do they know if they're cross-gender? How do they know what it, they haven't even experienced life? How, why are we forcing things on these children? We don't even know what, who we are. Why are we forcing things that we think is necessary to force on them? If we want to do these things, kid, do it in your private, in your private home or whatever. Why are you forcing everybody to uniformly for, do whatever you're doing? I don't want to do what you're doing. I could care less that you have the freedom to do what you're doing. Why are you infringing on my right to be what I want to be and telling me I got to do what you're going to do by creating a law, making it, you know, saying that this happens. But then, you know, again, on the same vote, where the hell's the civil rights laws for African Americans? What the hell happened to that? The women's movement went forth, the gay movement went forth, blacks still don't have rights. We're the heaviest constituted people have been locked up, drugged out, stolen, refused to, you know, abide by any type of situation that has to do with protecting our rights in this country. We have absolutely nothing. You go to the judicial system to fight something. You can't get anything done because you got to have $5,000, $50,000 lawyer. If you go in there by yourself, they won't listen to you. It's garbage. It's garble. They don't care what you say. You can hop up and down all you want because you're not talking their language. And you have to learn their language in order to deal with them. And even if you know their language, they still will twist it around and still won't give you a break because that's what they're traditionally taught to do. So there is no constitution, really, for blacks because they don't abide by anything they write. They don't read. They don't read. I haven't seen two justices maybe in my life take up a brief and really read it. I mean at the lower court level. I ain't seen none of that. And that's a damn shame that you go and say, okay, and that's another thing too, voting judges in. Oh, okay, well, I'm Democrat, you know, Republican, you know, all these damn people get in. You don't know who they are, why they're in it, what the hell they're game plan on. Most of them want that damn retirement pension. Why would you leave $250,000 a year job as a lawyer with a whole law practice and go down to $50,000-some-odd a year other than the pension and perks of what the job is a judge? You get more. Now, how do they get more? If the money comes in the court, where does that go? They got trillions of people going there in the court and getting charged. They were $300 and up for a court litigating fees and stuff. And the thing is, oh, we don't have any money. They're not paying the employees that. So where the heck does all that money go? Just wake up, please. And thank you for listening. This is Deanne. And good night, or good day. I'll be back at 11:30 tonight.